Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, November 8th. Can we have a roll call, please?
Member Brown?
Here.
Member Clinton?
Present.
Member DeGasis?
Here.
Member Iman?
Here.
Member King is absent. Member Whalen?
Here.
Chair Branch?
Here.
Thank you.
Let's begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, at this time, the public has an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda items. So if there's anybody out there that wants to speak on an item that's not on our agenda today, we would give Linda a speaker slip, or if there's anybody virtually, they would put their hands up. Is there anybody that'd like to speak, Linda?
Would anyone who wishes to speak on an item not on today's agenda, please, if you're an attendee, click on the raise hand icon, or if you're in the audience, please raise your hand. There's no one, Chair Branch.
Okay. That takes us to the review of our agenda. Mary?
Okay. Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members. Before we get started, we'd like to introduce our city manager, as some of you have not met. So, Robert? Yes, please, and turn on the microphone.
Either or.
There we go. So, yes, I am Robert Nisbet, new city manager, and I'm like 2.5 months in. So part of my onboarding is getting around to the commissions and other people in the community and introducing myself. So I understand this is only your second in-person meeting in 2.5 years. So good opportunity for me to come and introduce myself and welcome back to in-person. I hope it works out. It's really good to be here. A little bit about myself. I've been in public local government my entire career, which is, well, I won't say what it's approaching, but it's getting up there. I met Mary way back in my career when I worked for the city of Carpinteria, so many, many, many years ago. But the last 10 years I've been up in the Bay Area. I worked for a big park district for 6 years, the East Bay Regional Park District, a great organization. And then I worked for the city of Half Moon Bay, a coastal city, completely in the coastal zone, small tourist city. And before that, I actually am from, well, not from this area, but was here a great deal of time. I was here 25 years, went to school at UCSB, and then stayed around, worked for the city of Carpinteria, worked for Santa Barbara County for a number of years, and then left the county for the Bay Area in 2012. So really good to be back working for the city of Goleta. And I just wanted to introduce myself and say thank you to you and acknowledging what you guys do for your community, agreeing to spend your time on a committee. We have many committee and commissions, and you're probably not acknowledged enough that this is something you make a decision to do and volunteer your time to do that. So we always appreciate that. So if there's any questions for me, certainly happy to take them, but I just wanted to say hello.
Sure, Mr. Nisbet. As a fellow gaucho, were you an environmental studies major?
I was actually in economics. South Hall, I think it was, or North Hall. 87 to 89.
Well, welcome back, I guess I should say. And thanks for introducing yourself to us and the community. Thank you very much.
So Chair Branch, so today's agenda, we are hearing all the items. There are a few members that need to be recused for B2 and B3. But other than that, you can proceed.
Okay, very good. That will take us to A2, the review and approval of the minutes for October 25th. Would someone please make a motion for that?
Also move the motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting.
Very good. And a second?
I'll second.
So
Seconded by Cecilia. Any discussion? I had one item on page 7. Under landscaping, item 16, this was the harebrained scheme that I had about from the experience with my own dog. So I want to change that sentence on number 16, where it says, use natural grass or other natural materials rather than, scratch that whole part out and replace that with, consider a small area of natural grass among the, and then it would continue, wood chips for the dog area, because some dogs will not enter the wood chip area. So it doesn't need to be the whole thing. I just thought it would be great for them to study maybe doing a small patch is all. And then on same page, item 19, consider why there are two different fencing materials, one for the leashing, the dog wash area, and one for the dog runs, a little typo. No big whoop.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else?
Those changes are acceptable to me, Chair.
And to the second? Okay, very good. We'll vote by a roll call then.
Member Brown?
Yes.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
I'll abstain. I was not here.
Member Iman?
I will abstain. I was not here.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Chair Branch?
Yes. This will take us to our conceptual preliminary final review calendar and item B1. Linda?
Item B1 is the U.S. Bank signage located at 299 North Fairview Avenue, APN 077-170-042, case numbers 22-0045-ZC. And 22-0020-DRB.
And has everybody visited the site?
Yes, I visited
the site. Cecilia? Okay. Jonathan?
Yes, I have.
And Dennis?
Site visit, no ex parte discussions.
Martha?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Same here?
Karis?
Yeah. Karis?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, Brian, the floor is yours.
All right, thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Board. So this is back before you. As you recall, this was the bank in Fairview Shopping Center, now going to be called U.S. Bank, formerly Union Bank. And a number of the signs, all the signs are proposed to be changed. The board had favorable comments for most. However, the canopy was a source of comment, and so the applicant has gone back to revise the signage of the drive-up banking canopy. You'll recall the previous version of the plans, or the original version of the plan, had a white background that was in contrast to the rest of the cladding on the building, and so the applicant has proposed this more brown background with similar letters. And so we do have the applicant here, Eric Newman. If he can be pulled over to present, that would be great. And I can answer questions in the meantime.
Okay. The applicant is here?
Virtually.
Virtual?
Yes. Eric Newman.
Yes, I'm attending virtually.
We hear you. Go ahead and unmute him.
Can you unmute?
Oh, there we go.
Oh, you can a bit.
Okay, Eric. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead and give a presentation to the board of your revised plan set here.
So based on the notes from the last meeting, the drive-up canopy was white with blue letters, which didn't fit the building design. So we revised it to a brown backer that's going to match the building.
Okay,
I think the other option was to have hanging signs. The client wanted to go with the white letters on the brown backer.
So I have a question. Is that time for questions? Sorry.
Are you finished with your presentation?
Mr. Newman, are you able to hear us?
All right, well, I'm going to presume.
We compensate. It looks a little bit lower because if we did this higher, this was going to hit this part.
Is there any questions?
We have a few questions, yeah, Cecilia.
Yeah.
And can you mute your microphone for a moment?
Oh, yeah.
I got 10 minutes with Steve.
Mr. Newman, are you able to hear us?
I didn't take pictures of my dad and Joe were doing that.
We do, yeah, Joe has that.
All right. That's the back of it right there. So my dad did it's our own thing. This was
Mr. Newman. Can you hear us, Mr. Newman?
All of this is hollow, but he said that they're going to drywall it. So, look, this is their little janky shit right here.
Thank you. Your question, go ahead.
Yeah, so my question is that you've put a backer there at the canopy. So you've changed the architectural things that were there before. Is that what you're proposing?
But the only thing is the electrician didn't have power to them, so if they're not on, we cord tested all those places.
Okay.
So I'll never forget
that.
This one.
Chair Branch, I think we can try to work this out with staff and your questions and see how far we get.
Okay. I to be more specific about your question, if you would allow me, it looks like what they're doing is appropriate. I think they just colored the whole back just because it's easier to Photoshop it on there.
That was my concern from what he said, is that they're proposing a backer. So that's backing, I guess, but I have other questions beyond that too.
Yeah, go ahead with other questions.
Okay, not that I want to hog this, but my question has to do. I drove by there on the way here, and I just think that there's too much signage here on this piece of the canopy, and I don't understand why there needs to be a clearance sign right there on that edge. There's a drop-down sign that shows what the height is, and I would think that just with the drive-up banking, that would be plenty. We don't need to have what the clearance is. There is a drop-down sign, and I don't know why that wouldn't be appropriate. It's my comment.
Question. Yeah. Okay. Jonathan, do you have any questions?
No, Chair Branch.
Dennis?
Thank you, Chair Branch. It seems that our comments number 1 and 4 have very cleverly been worked around. My intention was to preserve the character of the fascia, which matches the larger volume of the building. So we're talking about architectural integrity. This scheme kind of cleverly dances around it by applying a metal panel. I guess my only concern is how much damage is done to the original integrity of the fascia were it to ever be removed. So I'm not so sure I can fully support this. I would also ask that on number four, we have a response to why hanging signs just won't cut it for them. Thank you.
Martha, any questions?
No comments, though, I do have.
Okay. Karis, do you have any questions?
No, no questions.
Okay. Martha, go ahead with your comments.
Yeah, so I agree. I think that dental fascia should still show up, and there must be a way to do that that's aesthetically pleasing. Two, I think the zigzag effect of the drive-up banking clearance drive, it kind of gives me a little seasick feeling there. And so I think if they hung the clearance signs from the fascia there and centered them on the posts, that would still work, and then center the drive-up banking / night drop sign into the space, and it won't look so complicated.
Chair, can staff ask a clarifying question?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. So here's a photo of the existing canopy. So I think a couple members might be suggesting pin-mounted letters on this existing fascia. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, that's what's proposed. No.
No, what's proposed is covering that whole thing with a piece of
my
metal.
My understanding of the proposal is that there's a metal backing that would cover this.
Right.
You're right.
Okay.
Right, yeah. Okay. That, so instead of seeing all those wood dentals, like Martha said, you're just going to see one smooth piece of
as currently proposed metal, here, proposed. Yes.
Right.
I think the suggestion that the applicant is receiving is that instead of a metal backing panel, that the letters be somehow mounted directly on the existing fascia.
I'm going to jump into my comment right now, which is I think that would work. I don't think that would work well with all the vertical pieces. I think it would be more successful if you just had, you know, just do a flat sign that's brown that matched that color, and just do the white lettering on that. So you've got a flat piece with that, and let that just be attached to that. So you still see the architecture through it.
So a backing behind each. Sign.
Just behind each sign, not the entire fascia, I think would be more successful.
Okay, thanks for that.
And I agree with the comment about the clearances just being the signs that hang down, and get rid of those on the fascia itself. So the only signs on the fascia itself are the drive-up banking signs. I think that would be a lot cleaner, in my opinion, anyway. So, Dennis.
I think I said my piece there.
Okay.
I could try to make a motion if
any other comments first? Karis? No? Yeah, go ahead.
So then I would propose that the item be continued and the signage be restudied to reduce the size, the visual impact of the sign to the fascia, perhaps by reducing it to a number of smaller signs or even hanging signs as were previously requested. Does that hit it?
I think so. Anybody second that?
Do you want to mention that the clearance signs should be hanging and the others should be applied to the fascia?
Hmm. If the maker of the motion so entertains. At least to study that concept, perhaps.
Yes, and in addition, the proponent should study the clearance signs being hung from the soffit. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right.
Chair Branch, could we have that to continue to a date certain? Next meeting would be December 8th.
December 13th.
Sorry. Yeah, December 13th. Thank you.
It would be helpful if we could have an in-person presentation too at that time to speed things along.
We will make that request.
Thank you.
Okay.
Second.
Got the second? Okay. Any discussion? And vote by roll call.
Okay. Member Brown?
Aye.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Chair Branch?
Yes. All right. Very good. All right, so that brings us, so items B2 and B3, we have to recuse. So, I will recuse.
Oh, both of you. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. Well, with your good coaching, Ms. Chang, I'll try to fill in here. I don't even have an agenda in front of me. Hold on.
That's the minutes. That's the minutes.
So this is item B, 7390 Calle Real, the 7-Eleven signs.
That's correct. We'll have the clerk read that in.
Read it in.
Item B2 is conceptual, preliminary, and final review. It's the 7-Eleven signs located at 7390 Cali Real, APN 077-490-041, case number 22-0021-DRB.
All right, then. Mr. Lee, would you like to make a presentation?
Yes, please. Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Travis Lee, and I am the planner assigned to this project at 7390 Calle Real. Earlier this summer, you reviewed a DRB proposal for facade improvements and site improvements at this same location. This project is exclusively for the 7-Eleven gas station and convenience store. The project proposes a new 22 square foot internally illuminated wall sign, refacing an existing electronic changeable copy sign with a new 7-Eleven logo, and refacing two 7-Eleven logos on the existing gas canopy. The applicant is available, Mark Blackford, and we are available for any questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lee. Do we have questions from the board? Oh, yes, declarations are the most important part.
I visited the site and have had no ex parte discussions.
Yes, same here. Visited the site, no ex parte.
And I also visited the site and had no ex parte discussions. All right, then. Celia, would you
Member Clinton, please.
I have no ex parte conversations and virtual site visit. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Excuse
me, I forgot you were out there in the ether.
Okay, can you see me?
No. Ah. So if while we're in conversation here, if you have any questions, Karis, please let us hear them.
I do not. I'm very familiar with the site. I think it's...
Thank you. Celia, you have any questions?
Can we see the individual signs? Can you blow them up? I know I can do it here, but it's easier to see them on the screen. And can you just review each one? This is a new one. This is a... And these are going to be, again, tell me what they are.
Yes, so these will be internally illuminated.
Reverse channel letter.
This is going to be a 22-square-foot internally illuminated wall sign with 20-inch-tall remote channel letters centered on a 30-inch by 50-foot-wide sign band. So there's no existing condition is there's no sign there right now.
When you say sign band, what do you mean by that? Is that what's backing the letters?
Yes, that's correct.
Or is it the whole fascia?
No, that's the whole fascia. It's the 50.
Okay. All right. Can you go on and maybe there's other... Am I the only one with questions?
Oh.
Okay, I have some other questions. Can you go?
Go ahead.
Other side, sorry.
So this is just a technical schematic of the wall sign.
Right.
And then the next one would be the existing electronic changeable copy is on the right-hand side, and this on the left-hand side is the proposed. They're just refacing the existing.
So what is illuminated at night? Is it just the letter 711? The 7, the white background isn't illuminated?
No, the entire cabinet is illuminated.
Okay, the entire cabinet. Okay. Go ahead.
Anyone else? Okay.
Any other? Jonathan, you have any questions? I think that's all. So for me, Mr. Lee, I presume that this meets the signage regulations for the city. And I'm talking specifically about the building sign.
Yes, that is correct. It meets all the requirements of Title 17, the sign regulations.
Are there no guidelines or limits on the height of letters in the signage guidelines?
There are, but they meet the this one meets the requirements.
I'm sorry, what was that?
They do, but I do not remember the exact requirement off the top of my head. I have to review the staff report, but as of the writing of the staff report, that it does meet the requirements of the height.
So 24, as is proposed, is the maximum?
That is correct.
Pushing it to the limit, good.
Yeah.
And are the canopy signs internally illuminated?
Yes, that is correct. So they would, the entire cabinet would be lit at night.
Yes, so the proposal is the two canopy signs, the one building sign, and the two-sided pole sign.
That is correct.
All right, any comments? I'll start with Karis, since I know you're out there.
Mr. Whalen, yes. Would you want to have the applicant, he is here, Mr. Blackford, if he has any...
Oh, very good.
...any presentation or things to add to staff's presentation? Mr. Blackford, you want to unmute yourself?
I'm here.
Do you have anything else to add?
I barely can hear the proceedings. But I don't really have anything to add other than the 7-Eleven, the channel letters are new, all the rest of the remaining signs are existing and are being refaced to update the logo from having a green edge on their face to a straight white background.
Yeah.
But the 7-Eleven channel letters are the only new element.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if there are any members of the public who would like to comment on this item, we invite you to come forward. Seeing none, or Ms. Gregory electronically, little hands raised.
Any attendees who wish to speak on this item, please click on the raise hand icon now. No. Member Whalen, there's no one.
Hearing
at this
none,
time.
We'll go with comments from the board. Now I'm back to you, Karis. If you're there. If not, we'll skip to Jonathan.
I like the proposals. I think they identify the building a little more definitively. And frankly, I like the cleaner 7-Eleven logo, although that's a corporate decision. Still, I appreciate it. Can support the proposal.
Very good. Thank you, Celia.
Thank you. I don't have any further questions, and I have no further comments and my support.
And I'll go back to try Karis again because we're going to need a vote. Calling all Karis. Myself, I find the proposal acceptable. I'm not crazy about the canopy signage, but it's like for like. And in this world of corporate reinvention, we've seen this a couple of times before. So this is perfectly reasonable and acceptable. Still waiting on Karis. I'm going to ask
yes,
Celia, can you give us a motion?
Sure. I'll approve the project as make a motion to approve the project as presented.
And Jonathan, can you give us a
second? I second the motion.
Very good. Still no Karis out there. Do we have a quorum?
No, you don't. You need Ms. Clinton.
We need our Karis, calling all Karis.
I'm not seeing her, Member Whalen, on the screen.
Well, can we defer the vote and move on?
Yes, you can. You can move on to the next item, and when we get Ms. Clinton back.
There must be a technical term for that.
She does need to attend the next item as well.
All right, then. There's probably we're just going to defer that on today's agenda. Hopefully, we'll reconnect with her. And moving on to the next of our triad of signages, 55 North Fairview Avenue, new signage with electronic changeable copies and adoption of a categorical exemption for the fuel depot signage.
Chair Whalen, may I announce the address?
Read that
it's
in.
The fuel depot signage located at 55 North Fairview Avenue, APN 077-170-025, case number 22-0003-ZC.
All right, thank you. Let's see, Christina, Ms. McGuire is our planner on this. Would you? Thank you. So we're going to, before we hear from you, we're going to have declarations. First, to test if Ms. Karis Clinton is out there. No. Celia, go ahead.
Okay.
Declarations.
I have visited the site, and I did have a conversation with the property owner back earlier in the year when he was trying to get electronic changeable copy signs instead of the manual changeable copy signs here. And
all right.
The city made that change. Well,
plenty of detail. And Jonathan, declarations.
Site visit and no ex parte discussions.
And myself, I've visited the site and had no ex parte discussions. Any word from Ms. Clinton yet?
Yes, she dropped off the Zoom and she's trying to get back on. And okay. Actually, we don't have a quorum without her on this item either.
Right. Should we proceed with the presentation?
No. I think we need to move on to another next item.
Well, if we don't have a quorum, we can't really move on.
We'll have to call. No, the
oh, call them back. Yes. Oh, I like the way you think. So we'll have a brief interlude here while we get our board back together.
Board Member Whalen, for the next item, would you like the applicant to come up to the table just to prepare themselves?
That's always preferable. Thank
okay.
you, Ms. McGuire.
Mr. Swan, if you wouldn't mind you and your landscape architect coming up to the table to prepare for the
Hi, Dawn.
Meeting.
Ms. Chang, is our overhead camera working this week?
No, it's not.
Okay, thank you.
We will project it onto the big screens, but you can work with the paper plans.
Okay, so we are on, we're on item B4, is that where we are?
Yes.
Okay. Has everybody visited the site? Jonathan?
Yes, site visit, no ex parte. Conversations.
Cecilia?
Virtual site visit.
Same here. I was virtual, no ex parte.
Dennis? Real, a real live site visit, no ex parte discussions.
Martha?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Chair Branch, may I announce the item?
Oh, I thought you already had. I'm sorry. That's why I jumped into it. Yes, go ahead.
It's item B4 for conceptual preliminary and final review. It's the Sousa new single-family residence located at 160 Salisbury Avenue, APN 079-481-016, case numbers 22-0024-LUP and 22-0014-DRB.
Okay, and then if Karis is on. Declaration from her.
She is not yet. She has some issues with the Zoom updating some things.
Got it. Okay. Then, Christina, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Branch and members of the DRB. The project in front of you today is 160 Salisbury Avenue. The project is here for conceptual preliminary final review. This is the second time the project has been in front of you. It was reviewed previously back in July and received generally favorable comments, but the board wanted to see a more developed landscape plan. The addition of the zoning standards were added to the staff report just to call the attention to the fact that the project meets all of Title 17 and all of the zoning requirements. They are not requesting any modifications or anything of that nature, and the project does meet the maximum floor area allowed in the RS zone. With that, I would like to turn it back to you, Chair.
Okay, very good. Gents?
Good afternoon.
Hit the green button.
There we go.
There you go.
Good afternoon. Don Swan is my name. I'm the designer of the project. And with me is Ricardo Castellanos, the landscape designer. And this is a project came before you before, and it was a residence that had a fire a year or so ago and had to be totally demolished. The city building department would not accept any portion of the property remain. So you've probably seen the fencing around the property at this time. So we're back in. The plans are through. I've gone farther beyond what you already had kind of gave me kind of preliminary approval or conceptual approval on. I've gone I'm ready for a go-to permit, and Ricardo has done a planning plan for us to get it back into that system for that. One, I have to comment on one thing, was that the water department would not allow us to provide a sprinkler system, a designed sprinkler system. It would prevent us, they'd have to upgrade the water meter, and it would cost the owners $15,000 to $20,000 more for that. So we've opted to go hand watering by hose pip with a drip system off to the system. So that's how we stand at this point.
Got it.
Can I ask you a question about that? Was it a change in the meter size?
No, we didn't have to.
So yeah. They just...
But if we would have had to have done that if...
Really?
If we had put a sprinkler system in.
Whoa, that's interesting.
Okay. That's what Gemma said, that you could leave out here.
Okay. All right, well then, with that in mind, Ricardo, you want to walk us through the landscape plan?
Just pull it over in front of you.
Okay, I'll start with... Can you hear me?
Yep.
I'll start with the existing trees. There's a really large pepper tree out in the front. And then we have two, I believe they're clostomans on the street, on Pagoda and then on Salisbury. So we propose to make the driveway, the front walkway, and the porch permeable pavement. There are three downspouts here at the front of the property. We'd like to do some rain gardens just to have a conveyance system going across here, and then having some grasses, things that can take a little bit of extra water when they get watered. And these would be like citrus trees, because they really like that. The rest is pretty much drought-tolerant plantings. We have some flagstone pavers to cut across here to the driveway, and also to get to the back side of the house. The front parkway would be something like a diamondia, and then a couple of aloes, medium to small aloes, kind of sporadically placed along our pagoda as well. Let's see, so the vegetated swales, things like carex, mimulus, medium height shrubs, things that spread or are really drought tolerant, like Arctostaphylos, manzanita. Let's see, what else? I think
think that's about it. Aeoniums, things that take shade on the side. Yeah, that's about it. It's a simple landscape, very drought tolerant. And then if it should rain or whatever water does come down, it'll be stored on site for a little bit anyway and then sunk into the ground.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
One thing that we like to do was, the point was that the original house had such a deadening in the corner because there was the fence was along the front edge of it.
Oh, that's right.
And so we've kind of opened up our, with our living room opened up and opened up the corner to the, to the, to the corner.
Again. Right.
A little bit of detail.
I remember that, yeah.
It looks a little better.
Nice. Boy, those things would have been interesting to see in today's downpour.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Martha, you want to start? This is in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I think the plant palette sounds fine conceptually, and the areas that you don't depict any hatching on, is that just bark mulch?
Yeah.
And it's shown
there's,
on the plan.
There's a note at the bottom, 3-inch layer of mulch.
Right, that sounds great. The comment about not being able to connect an irrigation system to the meter, I assume it's a 5/8-inch meter. Is it not?
What's his last name? I remember his name down there.
Heaton,
over. Engineer down there. He said it would be, and I said, because I was going to, presented it with a design a system. And he says, if you do that, it's going to cost you a whole bunch of money to you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not really under our purview, but I would just counsel you maybe to look into that a little bit further, because I think a drip system would not use much water. And could easily be implemented there, but it looks fine to me. And the pervious pavers seem like a great idea. I would make a suggestion on the entry walk, in particular, to have a brand of paver that doesn't have the butt joints. There are some that the water flows through that you could use there, and I think that'll be quite nice for them.
Yeah, right. Very good, Dennis.
Oh, sure. Are we to assume that the side yard on Pagoda is fenced and
yes,
not visible from the public area?
Right.
There isn't a fence now.
There is a fence.
There is. That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a 6-foot high one. It's,
yeah.
And it's to Thank stay, you. Except we're going to cut it back in order to meet.
To fit it in. House. But essentially, the Pagoda Drive will just be fronted by the fence, the Correct. Existing one. Thank you. Correct. That's all.
Okay. Cecilia?
Nope, have no comments. Like the project.
Very good. Karis?
Muted.
She's
talking.
Looks like you're muted. Karis, can you turn your microphone on?
That's the international symbol for I can.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Jonathan?
I saw that.
No comments or questions. Thank
you. Okay. Yeah, I don't have any comments or questions either. This is pretty straightforward, and I think it looks great. Looks great. So. I guess with that, a motion?
I can be happy to.
Shall we ask Chair Branch, audience attendees?
Oh. Yeah. Public comment?
Public.
Would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item please click on the raise hand icon now? And no Chair Branch at this time.
Okay,
wait, excuse
thank you.
Me, I have someone here. Raise hand icon.
Is that a late entry?
Would you unmute, please?
Hello. This is Mary Sousa.
Oh, Mary.
It's my residence. Yeah. Well, thank you for reviewing. And looking forward for a new house. Plan to move in. Thank you, Don, and everyone else.
Every day.
Thank you. Okay. I guess where are we at? Oh, a motion.
I'm ready to make a motion. And okay. It's nice to hear from a happy proponent, too. So I can propose that we move this project forward with conceptual, preliminary, and final approval as proposed.
I'll second.
Very good.
Along with the findings listed in the staff report.
Good man.
I was coached. Got to keep your eye on it.
Any discussion? Okay, how about a vote by roll call?
Member Brown?
Aye.
Member Clinton? She looks.
She's got a visual of two thumbs up.
Member DeGaces?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Chair Branch?
Yes. Very good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Looks good.
Thank you all.
Very welcome. Okay, that will take us to item B5.
Item B5 is conceptual, preliminary, and final review. The Humberto first and second story residential addition located at 7174 Tuolumne Drive, APN 077104022, case numbers 22-0029 LUP and 22-0015 DRB.
Okay, declarations. Karis, have you visited the site? No. Okay. Jonathan?
Site visit and no ex parte conversations.
Cecilia?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Same with me?
Site visit, no ex parte discussions.
Martha?
Site visit, no ex parte discussion.
All right, very good. Let's see. Christina, welcome back. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Branch and members of the DRB. The project in front of you today is for residential first and second story addition at 7174 Tuolumne Drive. The project was last before you 2 weeks ago at your meeting where you asked, where you had some comments for the applicant, and the applicant has returned and responded to those comments. Just for the pleasure of the board members that were not at the last meeting and for members of the public, this project does have a previously approved ADU in the former garage. And unfortunately, there is no purview for that, for the DRB, for that portion of the project. And I did want to mention that the applicant did study a parking design. However, a new curb cut really wouldn't be allowed because it would be going to nowhere, no required parking because of the ADU. So the applicant's only choice really is to keep the two cars where they are or continue or park on the street. With that, I'd like to turn it back over to Chair Branch.
Okay, the floor is yours.
Thank you, member of the DRB. Good rainy afternoon. my name is Pan Su. I'm the architect on behalf of the owner of the project. Since our last review and comments from you, the comments were generally speaking positive, so we just focus on massaging the design a little bit more. I have since then included a demo plan so that you could actually compare what was existing and what is proposed on the, I believe it's sheet A2 or the plan sheet. If you look at the demo plan, it's right there. On there. we added, per your comment, we added the siding, the horizontal siding on the gable in the front of the garage. to complement the design of the siding that's proposed on the second floor master suite unit. We also took a closer look at the balcony design. Initially, the balcony is a plaster wall that comes straight up and become part of the balcony with a masonry caps of some sort. We have since then revised it to show basically a wood cap with a 6-inch wood trim underneath. The idea is that should mimic the trims on the siding as well, and further brought that detail in a little bit. We have introduced a finished landscape plan now with a complete plan list, and I also included pictures of the plants that we're talking about. They're mostly drought tolerant plants, and once these are established, they shouldn't need any watering at all. Drip irrigation is a plant and for this. As the planner had mentioned, Christina had mentioned, we had make effort of see if there's any possibility of creating more opportunity for parking on site, but then the planning staff informed us that is actually not permitted or not consistent with the current Goleta zoning code. So we opted to leave everything the way it was, just with the existing driveway and the existing curb cut for two parking spaces. We did also study on the, I think there was some comment about the gables being a little bit weird or offset on some areas. So we did relook at that a little bit. And then if you look at the elevations on the ground floor, the main gable for the main house we balanced that out, so to speak. So it's, instead of being offset, it's actually centered on the elevation on that gable on the side yard, and I forget it was the left or right side yard.
Can we
so it's on the new east elevation, that main gable.
Are we talking about this right here?
No, not the second floor one, the first floor one. Because we had added an extension to the back bedrooms, we initially had kept the roof line the same, so that basically that back area, the eave line got extended in the back, and that was actually an error on our plan, so we adjusted so that gable actually balanced out now.
Got it. So, that's better.
Yeah, on the second floor, it was a conscious decision on the second floor to offset the part of that gable. And the reason for that is that I tried to keep the elevations from the street low. So it's an 8-foot play from the street side. And I raised it just a portion over the master bathroom to a 9-foot play. The reason being that so that I don't have to put in any low windows. I could have high clearstore windows above the mirrors, above the vanities, to accommodate lights into those bathrooms without sacrificing privacy to the neighbors and stuff like that.
Got it.
But that was the only portion that it has a 9-foot play, plus because of the split roof on the second floor, it kind of works out. That's it. That was the only changes.
Okay. All right. Martha, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I think the landscape plan looks acceptable. Not sure if I should suggest this or not, but I've had projects where they needed a little extra parking, and we accommodated that with kind of a gravel area with some boulders and flagstone and so on. So it looks like it's part of the landscape, but it can accommodate part of a vehicle if it necessary, even though you've got that restricted curb cut. The other suggestion I would make is maybe to create some screening other than what you show here, so that patio use maybe is a bit protected from the street frontage. And that might be a series of shrubs that are 4 to 5 feet tall or something, that grouped in an informal way. And those are my comments.
Okay. Dennis?
Well, forget about the extra parking. Mr. Hsu, was I correct when I read that there was a window added to the second floor bathroom? Was that that's a revision?
Yes, there is a second floor window added to the bathroom, and it's mainly
at the tub.
Over the tub, yes, by the tub.
Kind of a daring proposal. I like it, but I wonder what other people might comment on it. And then, just to be clear, I don't think it occurs on the drawings. There is a retaining wall out front of 30 or more inches with a 6-foot wooden fence above that. Those are all remaining, aren't they, or will they be removed?
No, those will be removed. I spoke to the own homeowner about that. He decided to do that.
Including the retaining wall?
Yes.
Retaining.
Because the original property did not have the retaining walls.
Right.
He decided to fill that in and build a retaining wall plus a 6-foot fence on top of it. And that was the first thing I advised him to get rid of. So hence the new landscaping plan. And to address the other member's comment also, the proposed new DG patio area in the front is screened off with about a 5-foot high hedge, which we're proposing on the landscaping plan.
Well, I think that move, well, that's a comment. Move on.
You can comment.
That's a wonderful gesture back to the neighborhood of just being open and friendly and being able to see the front door rather than hidden behind this. Well, it looks like it could be about a 10-foot barrier.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair Branch.
Cecilia?
Thank you. I don't understand the issue of not allowing additional concrete in the front yard. Can someone explain that to me?
Thank you. Thank you, Member Brown. So currently they are with the ADU that's already been permitted and the primary residence, their parking requirement right now is zero. They're not required to provide any off-street parking. However, since they already have a curb cut which went to the former garage, that's an area that people would normally park in, like just right outside of their garage, those two spaces, and so that can remain. However, we can't permit more curb cuts into this sidewalk, into this front yard.
Okay, so the question isn't about a curb cut, it's just extending sort of the driveway to the right. And the reason I ask this question is I look around the neighborhoods, everybody's got these huge driveways that extend all over through the front, and I don't understand why this applicant couldn't have some sort of an extension. That's my question.
Parking in the front yard setback isn't allowed, and technically, you know, we know that people park in their front yard setback in their driveway, and so it's
right.
Yes, but so we wouldn't want to increase that more parking in the front yard setback.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Member Brown, the front yard setback, there's very few things that are allowed in the front yard. That's the one setback that's pretty sacred.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Chair Branch, we do have speakers, public comments. I wonder if you wouldn't want to take those first before the board members deliberate.
Okay.
And can we check, Ms. Clinton, are you, do you have audio?
Do I?
Oh, you can do. Yay. Okay, good. Thank you.
Excellent. Do you want me to make my questions and comments? And
The chair will call on you when he's ready. Thanks.
Speakers. speakers that want to speak should speak now.
Yes, we have two attendees here who wish to speak. Larry Scarpasi and Harry Rouse. And if anyone else would like to speak, please click on the raise hand icon now. So Mr. Scarpasi. And you have 3 minutes, please.
Hello. Okay, good. Testing. Good afternoon, Design Review Board and staff. Thank you for letting me speak with you concerning 7174 Tuolumne Drive, ADU. My first comment are on the windows on the new addition. I think they're very inconsistent with the rest of the design of the project. And the issue of parking is going to be discussed over and over with this ADU. Currently, I have two very close neighbors, both single family residences. They're not two stories, and each property has six cars associated with their buildings. So it's four bedroom, single family, six vehicles, and each one has three trucks. Having lived on Tuolumne Drive for the last 42 years, it's very common to see people speed on Tuolumne at 45 miles an hour or faster, and that's because it's parallel with Cai Real. The more vehicles that are parked on Tuolumne Drive, the stronger the likelihood that a fatal accident will occur. The most vulnerable victims of a fatal accident will be a child or a resident riding a bike. Hopefully the city will deny this ADU, this four-bedroom ADU. But if it is approved, this two-story ADU should absolutely be allowed to have three or four parking areas. And the idea of having some gravel in the front yard is, at least to me, acceptable and a compromise, an acceptable compromise. And in the last 3 years, my U.S. mail has been stopped twice because there is no parking on Tuolumne Drive. None. No additional street parking. Zero. It's my recommendation to the city that it pass an ordinance banning all such ADUs within 1,000 feet of any private or public school, such as Dos Pueblos that has almost 2,200 students, because of safety issues, traffic, and just the idea that people are going to have to be looking all different directions because they cannot see around the vehicles that are parked on my street. Every single time I drive out of my driveway, I have to pause and wait and think, is anyone on a bike? Is there a child walking up and down that street? Is there a car coming at 45 miles an hour that I'm not expecting? And this happens every single day. So these ADUs are a disaster waiting to happen. And I've written to the city. I have received no response whatsoever, not by email, not by phone, not by any form of communication known to mankind, none. which leads me to believe that the city doesn't care about what happens on our street. And currently there's a neighbor who is working on a car in the street, and that's been there for anywhere
from six to nine months. I'm going to ask Mr. Scarpartio to wrap it up. You've passed your 3 minutes.
I will. This one resident has been working on a car for 6 to 9 months, and I haven't seen anyone from the police department drive down my street probably in the last 9 months. Thank you.
Okay, the next speaker is Harry Rouse. 3 minutes, please.
Good afternoon, members of the board. I appreciate being, have the opportunity to comment on this from a different angle. Mr. Scarpacci has covered just I look at an extremely overcrowded neighborhood. Automobiles, houses, there are, I believe, 5 or 6 houses on the block with two-story additions. Okay, and I look at this project, which is going to end up with 5 bedrooms, probably 10 people, and parking for 2 vehicles on a very crowded street. I just can't imagine it. So much of Mr. Scarpacci covered, I intended to discuss, but I really don't need to. I just think that the city needs to pay attention to overcrowding. When I think of all the monstrous projects that have been covered in the past few years, hotels and apartments, we're going to end up like a lot of other cities along the south coast of California that have turned into overcrowded, clogged neighborhoods. And I'm talking about all the way down the coast to San Diego County. They take a good location and they ruin it with more and more building. And lastly, I'd like to point out that there is a severe shortage of affordable housing in this community. A friend across the street has a 3-bedroom house, 2 baths, and she's asking over $1 million for it. And those houses sold for, I think it was $12,000 originally back in the 50s. And those prices are the result of overcrowding, too much. And if we keep it up, we're going to ruin Goleta. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Is there anybody online that wants to speak?
No, Chair Branch.
Okay. I think we left off Jonathan. Is that right? Or did you get to speak, Cecilia? Okay.
Well, are we making comments or what?
Yeah, we were kind of doing both, actually. Oh, okay. So please feel free.
I just
have
a question about this window over the tub.
Okay.
So someone stands up and they're, they don't have any clothes on. I mean, well, how does that work? I don't get that. I don't get why you'd have a window over the tub.
It's mostly going to be frosted glass.
All right.
But design-wise, I just usually think it's not like down all the way down to the tub. It's about 4 feet high because of that portion of the bathroom. It has a 9-foot plate. Right. So the window comes down to about 4 foot so that maybe a potted plant can be next to the window sort of thing for a bathtub. it's not a deal killer if that becomes an issue, but I just decided to add that in.
It's kind of unusual to see that over a bathtub. That's my only comment. Maybe others feel differently, but
it's courageous.
It's, you got to say that, it's courageous. Taking it back. Hello, everybody.
Jonathan?
Well, as the design review board, I can't do anything other than also wonder about the exposure of that window. But I do sympathize with the members of the public, and just driving by the site myself today, it is so congested. It's a danger zone, and when are we going to stop allowing these units to be turned into two-story rentals? But that's not the design review board. I guess that's the
right
other part of the system. So I'm just exploiting the opportunity to say, as a resident of the community, we got to work through these issues. We do need housing. We do need affordable housing. But I don't know that we should spoil historical neighborhoods in the process.
Gotcha. Karis, do you have anything to add? Okay. Did you have any other comments, Dennis?
No, I would just say that the applicant has responded very well to all of our ABR comments, and the landscape plan appears to be acceptable to me.
I'm okay with everything that's been done. That the window that you put in the bathtub there is, I mean. it just feels like there's a lot of stuff fighting in that corner. You know what I mean? And I get that the plate's higher, and so the privacy stuff can certainly be dealt with. But just architecturally, it just feels really busy right there, while the rest of the proportion everywhere else feels okay. When you've got even on the other side of the gable, where you've got the three windows and then the single wing window, it's just the proportion feels weird there. And so maybe that window over the tub, if that's something they still really want, could be reduced, come in 4 inches on the side, and maybe reduce it a little bit. It's not a deal killer for me by any means, but it just feels busy in that corner. Everything else just kind of has a nice proportion, and then that's feels like it's kind of crammed in. So maybe think about that as you get into the CD stage of it. Not a big deal, though. But other than that, I think you've responded to everything else quite well. So with that, I guess we're here for conceptual preliminary final, right? All right.
Yes.
Okay. Someone want to take a stab at a motion on this one?
Sure, I'd be happy to, Chair Branch. I would move that the board approve the project for final design with the following note that I agree about the cramped nature of the window, but since it's on the north side, not terribly visible, not at all visible from the public, and only from the only to irritate architects' eyes, I could live with it. Although, Mr. Xu, you might want to reconsider putting a window over a lavatory. Most people want a mirror, but that's up to you and your client. So,
okay.
There's my proposal to move to final with findings from staff. Thank you.
Very good. Do we get a second?
I'll second, and if I can just ask a question.
And then discussion, sure.
So as to
lean in.
Sorry. As to Member DeGasis's comment about gravel in the front, is that something that we would want to add?
Yeah.
Or that they could just do it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that was more of a stealth comment than
anything
else.
Okay, I just, I, I just second it as proposed.
Okay. Okay. Discussion? I guess that was discussion. Let's vote via roll call. Linda?
Member Brown?
Aye.
Member Clinton? Member DeGaces?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Chair Branch?
Aye.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that will take us to item C1.
Our designer's on vacation, so.
Why aren't you?
You're good enough.
It's
good enough, maybe even better, right?
Yeah.
Well, welcome. Okay. Yeah.
Item C1 is conceptual and preliminary review. It's the missile addition, modification, trellis, FAR exceedance, and CEQA categorical exceptions. 15301 EI, E and 1, existing facilities, 15303-E, new construction or conversion of small structures located at 30 San Jano Drive, APN 079-412-019, case number 22-0003-MOD.
Very good. And declarations, Jonathan?
Site visit, no ex parte discussions.
Cecilia?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Dennis?
Site visit, no ex parte discussions.
Martha?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Is Carison? Okay. I tried to do a virtual site visit, and Google has your house blurred out.
The prior seller. I submitted so many requests to have that put back up, but once it is submitted,
interesting.
Got to know Mark Zuckerberg.
It's interesting. So that said, I went and drove past the house, and no ex parte. So with that, Daryl, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, member of the DRB. We are here today. The applicant is requesting the Design Review Board recommend approval to the zoning administrator for a project. Specifically, the applicant's proposing a rear yard addition. Additionally, a modification to the zoning ordinance to allow that addition to encroach into the rear yard setback. The applicant's also proposing a new trellis, about 477 square feet. And along with that trellis, the applicant's proposing to exceed the maximum floor area of the zoning ordinance. And then the applicant's also proposing, lastly, a categorical exemption for the project. So in terms of the permit process, so this project, since it's a modification, is ultimately approved or denied by the zoning administrator. And so today we're here for recommendation to the zoning administrator, either an approval, denial, or the board can choose to continue the item to discuss further details. And so regarding this proposal, it's in the rear yard. So you'll see on the plans here that it is kind of on the east southeast corner of the property. The addition itself is 346 square feet, in which roughly 184 square feet will encroach into that rear yard setback. It is a corner lot, as you know. Additionally, to the north of the proposed addition, it'll be a 477 square foot trellis. And then we'll have that proposal to exceed the maximum floor area. Regarding the modification, so the zoning administrator does have the ability to approve an addition 15 feet from the rear property line. That is criteria allowed in the zoning ordinance. And that's what the applicant's proposing today. The addition is basically going to be a primary bedroom bath situated in that corner. Let's see. And so the zoning administrator would act on the modification. And again, can relief, grant relief of that development standards 15 feet away from the property line. This is in the inland zoning ordinance in our single family residential zoning district. In terms of next steps from here, the DRB will make their recommendation. It will go to the zoning administrator. And at that time, the zoning administrator will have a public hearing. We did receive two items for public comment. The first should have been in the DRB packet for the members. We did receive a second item just this morning. So I don't believe you'll see that yet, but I will. I can read that out for the record.
Okay.
Dear Design Review Board, my name is Stephanie Munez, and I live at 7461 San Blanco Drive in Goleta. So I believe that's the parcel across the street on the south side, directly to the south of the property. We'd much rather see this addition as it's currently proposed, which is a single-story addition in the backyard.
Yes, okay.
As compared to a potential two-story home or an addition in the front. This proposal will not impact our view at all. We appreciate Alec and Stacy's efforts to make this addition compatible with the neighborhood, not impact privacy or views. We approve the proposal as submitted. Sincerely, Stephanie Munez. With that, if the board has any questions, I'm happy to answer that. And I have Alec,
one question.
Yeah, go ahead.
When Linda read this into the record, one of the things was existing facilities, 15303E. What is that?
So existing facilities is basically just like an accessory structure, trellis. So we have two exemption tiers. One is for the trellis, which is the existing facilities, and one is for new construction of a small structure, which is the addition.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, turn on your microphone. The floor is yours. Introduce yourselves. And
sure. Hey, everybody. Alec Missel. This is my wife, Stacy. And
nice welcome.
Stacy Walker. Nice to meet you.
Welcome.
So we bought our house in October of 2020. We really love Goleta. We really love our neighborhood of El Encanto Heights. And we really have a goal of eventually raising a family here. Both of us work from home completely. Stacy's an attorney, works from home, and I'm an account executive with a technology company. We're going to be working home pretty much for the rest of our careers, most likely. So we do have a need for home offices. That's a big need. Our long-term goal is to have two kids, and in order to make kind of this whole idea work, we're going to need to have an addition so that we can also have a bedroom in addition to kids' rooms and home offices. So as you guys know, our house is on a corner lot that abuts both San Jano and San Blanco. So a little bit of different setbacks there. It's currently a 3-bed, 2-bath. And our proposal is to turn it into a 4-bed, 3-bath, which would allow us to have a home office and bedrooms for the kids. We have spoken to, you know, neighbors in the area, and seems like one thing that's been consistent is in order to maintain compatibility with the neighborhood, having this be in the backyard, which is completely fenced and out of sight, is desirable. Mm-hmm. Also, it's not a second story addition way up. People seem to like that idea. And then also it's not in the front yard. That seems to be what people like too. So we
it's not an ADU unit, so we're not doing it for the purpose of renting to others.
Yeah, this is for us. Yeah. One thing is that I really appreciate our neighbors, Ms. Munoz, mentioning that it is out of the view. If you guys drove over there earlier this week, it sounds like, you know, if you take a look in that direction, the view is almost no change whatsoever because of the height of the fence that is there already. And yeah, so our goal is to have this as low to the ground as possible, out of sight, out of mind, definitely want to stay incompatible with the neighborhood and impact the people around us as little as possible.
Yeah, and just a few things that I'll know is I know that our neighbor south, so that would be west or east, I'm not sure which direction, they submitted a comment that they were worried about our addition being able to see into their house.
That was a comment where they said there's a difference in grade.
Yeah, so this is a photo if you're just standing looking at their property. The existing addition would not be taller than the fence, so we can already see their house. They can see our chimney. So it would be, the addition would be the same height as the existing structure. She mentioned possibly adding bushes, I'm not sure, or some sort of shrubbery. I'm not sure how that would work because it would just be along the fence line, which can degrade the fence. And these are brand new fences that we put up, so we would like to avoid that if possible. I don't know if that would have much utility. So.
Okay, very good. All right, all pretty straightforward.
Did we declare?
We declared. Yeah. Martha?
I do have a question. It looks from the aerial, and it was hard for me to tell when I drove by. Mm-hmm. I did see your guard dog, though.
Oh, Wendy.
Wendy.
That it appears there's some trees that might be screening the neighbor to the east, and those would probably not be impacted by the construction.
That's right. So that was part of the reason why we were also a little confused about the request for more shrubs, because there's already a tree there. And, yeah.
Two trees. There's an orange tree right to the left of this photograph. And then farther left, there's a big tree.
Yeah, yeah. So while there is about, I think, maybe a 30-inch difference in grade between your property and her property, it doesn't seem as if the impact is going to be terribly onerous. Anyway, I guess that's kind of a comment also.
Yeah, that's fine. Dennis?
Yes, thank you. I had the same evaluation. In fact, it appears that the neighbor to the east has done the very same addition that you're proposing.
Oh. I didn't know that.
And that it is an existing non-conforming addition in the setback.
Yeah, I can answer that. Thanks, Mr. Whalen.
Not to make a big point out.
In terms of that property to the east, so in 1972, they did get approved for an addition roughly about 15 feet from the property line. Yeah. That was during the county era, though.
And then off that point, Mr. Mimic, the plan clearly shows within the 15-foot setback, but it does appear that the bay window extends even farther. Is that exempt as eaves and overhangs?
Exactly, yeah. Oh, they're allowed to have a 3-foot maximum overhang there.
That's very helpful. And then finally, is the 477-foot trellis included in that FAR calculation?
It is, yeah.
Is it? The trellis is uncovered and unenclosed, but it's counted as far as the FAR.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems like it should be only a percentage, you know.
Yeah, so as part of the zoning ordinance, that was a change that does now include accessory structures as part of the maximum floor area.
That does help me evaluate the exceeding the maximum to know that we're really talking about almost 500 square foot of just trellis. Those are my only questions. Thank you, Chair Branch.
Great. Cecilia?
Member Whalen asked my question, which was about the exceedance of the FAR with the trellis included. So
he does that.
I know. That's fine. That's good. I previously asked that question. I just wanted to get it on the record because I have difficulty with it anyway.
Jonathan?
Same question was answered, thankfully, by the question of Member Whalen.
Okay.
Always let him talk first, then it saves me time.
Karis, do you have any questions?
No, thank you.
Okay.
I think it looks nice.
Okay. I have no questions, comments?
I would say that I really appreciate the one-story approach. It's very, very pleasant looking, and it seems the trellis, if it's just an open trellis, is not going to be really imposing anything on the neighborhood, and I think it looks really attractive. I suspect you'll maybe be doing a bit of landscaping, and maybe we can see that when you come in with more developed drawings. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Dennis?
Yes, I find it a perfectly reasonable and acceptable proposal. My one reservation is the trellis seems to overwhelm what could be more landscaping, mm-hmm. and even overwhelming the house. I see that you've held it back from the edge of the plaster corners of a foot or so. That's a good move. I'm really splitting hairs now, as only architects can do. But I would caution you about, it looks like a wonderful place to raise your family and have a life back on, and that's where all the activity is going to be. So perhaps I'm off base, but it's a lot of trellis. You have my support.
Cecilia?
I think it's a great project, and I like the trellis. I have a large outdoor covered patio, and I spend a lot of time out there, and I think you'll be spending a lot of time under that trellis. So I support it. I'm just flabbergasted that the city would include that in a FAR calculation. Anyway.
Jonathan?
I think it's a great plan. I'm happy to see the final submission, and thank you.
Karis? Any comments?
No further. Okay. I like it. It's nice. And yeah, I look forward to seeing the landscape plan. I would just caution you maybe to keep an eye on the darkness of the color. They do tend to absorb heat when they're darker. And then, you know, think about trellis versus covered patio. That's all. But that's not a deal killer.
Okay.
It's just something to think about.
Thank you. I'll chime in. I think it's great. I actually like the bold color. I think that's really nice. I like how when we're looking at the rear elevation, the natural wood colors of the trellis up against that green are great. And I wonder if you wouldn't consider doing your garage door of natural wood color like that. That would be pretty cool.
We've already done that. The garage door.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Those are all my comments. I think it's great. And keeping it one story was the right move, and I don't think this affects anybody going into your backyard like that. So, all right. Someone want to throw a motion out there?
A Chair Branch, public comments.
I know. I always forget that. Public comment.
Would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item please click on the raise hand icon now? No, Chair Branch.
Okay. Now.
And Chair Branch, if I can chime in on the motion, it sounds like the board's in favor, so we would make a recommendation for approval.
Okay.
Yeah, it would just be conceptual right now. And then the zoning administrator will do the preliminary, and then we'll come back for final.
Well, I can make that motion then if you're calling for a Chair Branch to move for conceptual approval of the project, that it will be returning with a landscape plan and anything else I've forgotten, Mr. Mimic? All right, then. There's the motion.
Okay. We get a second? Seconded by Cecilia. Discussion? Okay. All those in favor, roll call, please.
Member Brown?
Aye.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Very good. You guys are off and running.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So, Karis is back on. So, the next two items are the two items that we missed before. So, at that point...
We'll turn it back to Mr. Whalen.
We will excuse ourselves, and those are the last two items. So.
That's correct. So we're going to go back to item B1, and we'll let Ms. Gregory read that into the record, and we'll pick up where we left off.
We will excuse ourselves.
I'm sorry, B2, 7-Eleven signage.
7-Eleven and Fuel Diesel.
Okay. Item B2 is conceptual, preliminary, and final review. It is the 7-Eleven signs located at 7390 Calariel, APN 077-490-041, case number 22-0021, DRB.
Shoo.
Member Whalen, where we left off was there was a motion and a second, and we couldn't hear Member Clinton. So if you could redo the motion, and then we can do the roll call.
Oh, good. So we don't have to go through declarations and the whole tap dance. All right. No. So,
Member Brown, do you have a question?
No, I'm just.
Do you recall who made the motion, or are we ready for a motion?
You can do the motion again. That way, it's clear on the record.
All right then. Celia, I'm going to call
certainly.
On you
okay.
to make a motion.
All right, thank you. I'll make a motion to approve conceptual, preliminary, and final review and approve the 7-Eleven signs as subject to findings.
Very good. And Jonathan?
I second.
Very good. So, Karis, were you?
Now roll call from the clerk.
Yeah. So... roll call, Ms. Gregory, a vote.
Okay. Member Brown?
Aye.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Thank you. Well, we disposed of that quickly. And then moving on to the next item, Ms. Gregory, you want to read that in to us? B3?
It's also for conceptual, preliminary, and final review. The Fuel Depot signage located at 55 North Fairview Avenue, APN 077-170-025, case number 22-0003-ZC.
All right, I see we have proponents at the table. Ms. Chang, we're ready to have them introduce themselves in the project.
Why don't you do declarations? We're waiting for our planner to come in, and then she can present, and then you can turn it to the applicant.
So declarations then, board members, Celia?
I spoke to Mr. Price about this project some time ago.
Months ago,
and fortunately he got the zoning ordinance changed so he could do what he wanted to, which made a lot of sense. So.
Thank you. Mr. Iman?
Site visit, no discussions.
And I have visited the site and not any ex parte discussions.
Member Clinton?
No new site visits, no ex parte.
Thank you, Ms. Clinton. So we're still waiting for our planner?
We are, but I think this is a pretty straightforward presentation.
Sure.
If the applicant would like to introduce themselves and proceed with their presentation, and when Ms. McGuire gets in here, she can add on and answer questions.
Very good, then. So introduce yourself,
John. Hi, Dan Morris for Freedom Signs, and this is John Price, owner of the property, and we are really simple application for a previously approved set of signs. Two ground signs, double-sided price signs, changing from manually changeable to LED, and then one pole sign, double-sided, changing from manually changeable signs to LED.
Can I just ask you a question? Why you're using white lights instead of red?
Wait, we didn't even finish introductions here.
Sorry.
So are you finished with your presentation?
Pretty much. It's pretty simple.
I'm stalling so that the planner can get it.
And we are mimicking the other gas stations on the street. There are three others. I think they've all got white.
All right, then.
It's the most visible.
Yeah.
So, Celia, I'll call on questions then. Go ahead.
Okay, so, but your other one, Fairview and Encina, is red.
We're going to convert it to white.
Okay.
It'll be our company.
Could you speak clearly into the microphone?
It'll be our company standard. We are converting Fairview.
That's
correct.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Iman, any questions?
No, sir.
Thank you. Karis, Any questions?
No, thank you.
All right, then. I'm not sure how I want to phrase this. So, and I wish the planner was here.
I can try to help.
All right, then. So the proposal is for how many signs? We have the pole sign, the two monument signs.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Right.
So the pole sign, I count as two. It's two-sided. Monument signs are each two-sided. There are signs existing on the two canopies. Each one of them has two signs. There are four pumps. Each one of them has four signs on it. So we have a total of 26 signs. Now, you're getting your point across, Mr. Price, but at what point does this become kind of a carnival of signage, especially now that we're putting interior lights? Interior illuminated.
Well, first
sign.
Of all, this is controlled by the California State Weights and Measures. So The sign has to be conspicuous from all traveling directions. So that's why, these aren't cheap. I'd prefer just to buy a couple of them, believe me. And so every traveling direction has to see it clearly. That's why the monument signs are two-sided. It picks up every direction. And that's by state law. So same with the price sign. So okay. They control me. As okay. much as I hate to say that, the state controls me. So,
all right, then. Any other comments? Well, and here is our planner, just in time. Ms. Chang, did you have something to add?
I just wanted, and Christine is welcome to add as well, is that these signs came in as a complete package a little while ago, and at the time, our sign code, sign regulations did not allow the electronic changeable for the price signs. And since then, that section of the code's been amended, yeah. So now that's what they're back for. Which
very good.
Yeah.
Just to continue my point to Mr. Price, I understand the proposal is for the electronic changeable signs and not really a total sign plan. If that were the case, would this be compliant with the new signage ordinance? When I'd outlined Ms. McGuire that there were up to 26 signs on the site with this proposal, I'm wondering if there's any upper limit on the number of signs aside from your proposal. It's more for the benefit of the board members and the staff.
Thank you, Board Member Whalen and members of the board. There is a total allowable signage on the site. It is, they have quite a bit of allowable signage since the service station has 211 feet of frontage. Sorry, I don't know where it says. 200, the total approved signage is 106.8 square feet. So they are within the allowable for this property. I'm sorry, I apologize for being late. I was talking to the previous applicant, just getting them squared away.
So there is an upper limit then. It sounds like 211 is the total, so they have.
And they've met it.
They are
that
under that.
That certainly answers my question, and I've made my point, however grumpy it is. So can we call for a motion then?
We do need public comments just to check.
Oh, sorry about that. Ms. Gregory, could you ask for public comment?
Yes. Would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item please click on the raise hand icon now? No, Member Whalen.
All right, then. I think we're ready for, we had a motion from Mr. Iman.
I move that we accept the proposal subject to findings.
And Celia seconds it, so we can have a roll call vote. Let's start with Ms. Clinton, not to forget her.
Aye.
All right.
Member Brown.
Aye.
Member Iman.
Aye.
Member Whalen.
Yes.
Success.
Thanks, guys.
That's it.
I have a question, though.
Sure.
A separate matter. Speaking of... we're considering taking the Fairview and Encina pole sign and lowering it. And I don't want to spend any money until
John,
I can.
That's not on the agenda. You
okay.
can come talk to
I want to
staff.
Take their temperature. So that's fine.
So I believe that it concludes our agenda. Do we have anything else?
You can go around to Francie.
Any comments by the board members? Announcements?
Yes. Thank you, Karis. Do you have any announcements by the board members for the board members? No, I guess not. Any others? She's back. She's back.
Member Whelan and
I did have, I wanted to, it's not really a declaration, but I just wanted to announce it. Celia and I were both at an airport master planning committee meeting, being representatives from our design review board. It was really a very introductory meeting about what the issues are, some of the site planning challenges. We will have subsequent meetings in, what was it, January? December, and then, see, I'm terrible with schedules. And then they're proceeding on to a draft mid to late next year and a final the following year, 2024. So we'll be reporting back to you on that airport master plan.
You can adjourn the meeting.
Do you have any announcements?
Other than the farmhouse, which is not really in.
No. But you're free to say a Saturday tour.
Yeah, we have Saturday. There's going to be tours of the main big farmhouse, which is on the corner of San Marcos Road and Hollister Avenue, if you'd like to visit a 1911 home in very beautiful condition.
I highly recommend it. You've been driving by it for your entire life and never really gave it a second glance. The foundation that has been formed around it has done a really great preliminary job of painting it and improving the landscape. If you're in doubt of what we're talking about, the intersection of Old San Marcos Road and Hollister, I think it's 5001 Hollister. Catty Corner is that 50s telephone substation that is more noticeable than the house. The house is in really, really good condition. So Saturdays they're offering, I think it's going to be regular tours, and they just went live with a web page that's really great.
Member Whelan, you want
with
to adjourn?
With that, I think we can close the meeting and adjourn for today. Thank you all.